So this morning, in our final class, we're going to be, again, thinking about the topic of getting from here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, to there, the mission field. How can we know that God might be leading us to move our lives and to leverage our lives to move to another country, relocate abroad for the sake of the gospel? What steps should we take if we find ourselves feeling led of the Spirit of God in that direction? These are some of the questions that we're going to be answering this morning as we jump in. But before we jump into that material, let me quickly review kind of where we've been. Obviously, the first couple weeks of the class, we looked at the foundation of missions, concluding that the aim of missions is the glory of God, and the engine of missions is done through the local church. We saw from Scripture that God has a passion to see his name glorified, and that he does that through showing mercy to sinners. Amazing, amazing truth. God has made his glory and our good to be consistent with each other. God is glorified in the redemption of sinners. We talked about, too, the urgency of taking that gospel to the ends of the earth and various ways that we do that through the local church, both in equipping, raising up, and releasing folks to the nations, be that the nations that have come to our doorstep here locally, or even going among unreached people groups into unreached places. So finally, this week, we're going to kind of wrap it up by looking particularly at the idea of getting from here to there on the mission field. And that really opens up the question of, am I called? Am I called to missions? Now, that's one of the kind of greatest difficulties that Christians who are thinking about making vocational ministry kind of the full-time vocation of their lives, either as a vocational pastor or a missionary, is this issue of calling. How are we to know that we are called by God to serve in a special way in support of his church, be it here locally or around the world? And what does it even mean to say that we are called? We could certainly unpack that throughout an entire 10-week course. We won't obviously do that in our time together this morning, but more so want to kind of treat it from the vantage point, particularly of missionary service. So just a few points that might be helpful as we begin to think about this topic of calling. First of all, we know that all Christians are called to aid in the spread of Christ's kingdom in the world. How might we know that? Where would you go in Scripture to defend that supposition that all Christians are called to aid in the spread of Christ's kingdom? Matthew 28, yep. Somebody else had something else? Where else? Matthew 28. Where else might, what's that? Acts 1:8, sure. We even noted, you know, Mark, Luke, and John all have accounts of Christ sending out his disciples. And obviously, this general biblical call to assist the advance of Christ's kingdom requires no specific calling. Rather, Christians can know that from the Great Commission, we are all called as Christ followers to make disciples among all nations. Again, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, or 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even till the end of the age." You see noted there as well, Mark 16, verse 15, Luke 24, John 20, 21, and Acts 1, 8. All show this pattern of the early church then taking the gospel from Jerusalem to what would be known at that point as the ends of the earth. We can also surmise from 3 John, as we looked at in several different of our lessons or weeks that we studied, that whether we're goers or senders, all Christians are called to participate in the Great Commission. So just to kind of be clear, a biblical call that involves an imperative command to all believers, like go and make disciples, that requires really no sense of calling, so to speak. In that sense, we're just called to read and obey God's word. you think about it this way, no believer is going to say, well, I'm called to a life of holiness, or I'm not called to a life of holiness, therefore it's going to be okay for me to just sin. You know, Scripture would not obviously command that or set that out as a way that Christians should walk in. And so that idea of a personal call to holiness is true for all of us. We are all called to pursue that. Such is the case in a call to share the gospel, both in its universal application and that general application to all believers. We're all called to evangelize and make disciples. So in one sense, if your question is, generally speaking, am I called to share the gospel? The answer is yes. But for some of us, that's probably not the question that you may be asking yourself at the conclusion of this class. Some of you are maybe asking that more specific question, am I personally called to leave this place where I currently am serving and leverage my life, leverage my job even, for the sake of the gospel? That's a much different question, obviously a more nuanced question. And I think to help us answer that question, I think we need to kind of take a step back. You know, when we opened up the class in week one, we defined missions, but we never fully defined missionary. That was a bit of a miss. We probably should have done that in week one, but definitely want to hit it now as it relates even to this idea of calling. To do that, great book, kind of a summary of the talks during the first Cross Conference, which was a conference that was developed about 5-6 years ago for particularly college students to consider going for however long to give their lives for the sake of the gospel. But in his talk on the call of God, Max Stiles, who's a pastor in Central Asia, defines missionary. Listen to what he says here. He says, first we need to define the word missionary. The word missionary is not in the Bible. A missionary, as he says, is someone who crosses a culture with the gospel to make disciples as their vocation. Crossing cultures with the gospel to make disciples helps us sort out many who might call themselves missionaries, but who are not, at least not in the biblical sense. For example, there may be Christians who happen to make a move cross-culturally for a job, to follow family, but at the same time have no driving intent to make disciples. They are not missionaries. Put plainly, moving across a culture or even living in another culture does not make a Christian a missionary. On the other hand, there are those who have jobs in a cross-cultural context looking nothing like the image of a traditional missionary, but who devote their lives to making disciples across cultures. These are missionaries. That's because their job, in the larger sense, has as its end of making disciples, helping to plant churches. And so that obviously guards against two common errors that we have when we're seeking to define missionary. On the one hand, the first kind of ditch or error is to say that all Christians are missionaries. The second ditch or the second error would be that only a select few are missionaries, or that missionary is only reserved for the elite, so to speak. But I think we can say this in terms of we set apart those who are called to be missionaries, but as we think about not all Christians being missionaries, he goes on to say that we are called to missions in some sense because missions is a part of being a Christian, but we're not all called to be missionaries. To be called to missions is to be called to the global call of God, as we were talking about a moment ago, Matthew 28. We're all called to evangelize and make disciples. All Christians have a calling to be active and intentional and willing to do missionary-like things in the Christian life, but not every Christian is a missionary in the strictest sense. Any questions on that? That may be kind of a new paradigm for you as you think about just more clearly and carefully defining missionary. Any questions or clarification I can kind of bring to that before we move on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Max Stiles, great author, great speaker. Yeah, so he's written another little book about evangelism. He's also written a book a number of years ago with he and his wife co-authored a book on short-term missions, short-term mission teams, which is still in print. So, over the centuries, obviously, biblical thinkers have generally identified then, as we think about calling, really two senses of calling. One is an internal call, one is an external call. And we're going to take a few moments to consider each of those. First, the internal call. The internal call is simply a sense of desire or willingness to undertake the work, a conviction that God has placed within you for a particular course of action. This is not just mere wanderlust in that, you know, hey, I just want to be a part of something bigger than myself or something that's going to make a difference, but rather that internal call of God, there should be a desire to see God glorified, as we think about it in a missionary context, over all the earth. And as we think about even the biblical basis for an internal call, you see there in your handout, Romans 15:20, we see Paul often spoke of that desire or that passion or that ambition that compelled him. He says in Romans 15, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." Or in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." You know, whatever that may have meant for Paul specifically, it seems clear that there was obviously a sense of desire, an internal calling that God had placed upon his life. Now, obviously, we know from Acts 9 and other accounts of where he recalls even his own conversion experience and God setting him apart, that was a pretty miraculous, even eye-opening, or shall I say eye-closing, experience for Paul on the Damascus Road. You know, not all of us are going to necessarily have a Damascus Road kind of experience, but nevertheless, there is that unique burdening that God places on those whom he is setting apart to serve in a missionary context. We also see even from 1 Timothy 3 this biblical basis for internal calling as we think about those who have a desire to serve as an elder within the local church. Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, "He who sets his heart on becoming an overseer desires a noble task." Or again in 1 Peter 5, talks about serving as elders, "not because you must, not out of compulsion, but doing so willingly." Think back for a moment even on Paul as he was defending his own call in Galatians 1 and 2. You think about the fact that he recounts having a personal aspect to that call. God set him apart on the Damascus Road, said that you were to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But then remember, he went away for a number of years and into the desert to study, and then he came back. When he came back in Galatians 1 and 2, as he's recounting that, you recall who he said that he talked to? Talk to Peter. Why would he have talked to Peter and not somebody else? Any thoughts? Yeah, had contact with Gentiles, even walking with Jesus, you know, for a number of years as well. And so there's that kind of not only the personal sense of calling, but then that private kind of one-on-one affirmation, even as others note that gifting within us, as we'll get to here in a moment as we think about external call. But even Paul going to Peter and potentially, you know, it's not written obviously there in the scripture, but one would surmise maybe even allowing Peter to help confirm that call within Paul. And then obviously then we see the public affirmation of Paul's call in Acts 13 as the church at Antioch sets he and Barnabas apart for the work of the gospel. So again, this internal call may be reinforced by a sense of gifting that you might have for a particular area, such as an ability to build relationships. Some people, while we're all called to evangelize, some just have kind of that natural ability to be bold and out front with the gospel, particularly in a cross-cultural setting. Many are even drawn and have a burden for international students here locally and give themselves to that within their vocation. But I think regardless of kind of how that fleshes itself out for us, note that God is going to equip us for what he has called us to. Think about Ephesians 4, where God has given the local church, pastors, elders, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Or 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul outlines that we are one body made up of many parts, and all those parts have to be functioning as they should in order for the body to work healthily as God has intended it to do. You know, oftentimes too, just kind of a plug for a missions roundtable that you can look up on YouTube under the Great Commission Center at Southeastern. There's about four professors that just released a video on calling where they're just discussing this idea of calling both generally and specifically. But one of the points that was made is that sometimes calling transcends need. You know, oftentimes it may be that we feel called to something because we see a need out there. But sometimes that calling is going to transcend that need. Because if you think about it, you know, in a cross-cultural setting, the volume is oftentimes turned up on the pressures of life, be it in marriage, be it in parenting, be it in just comforts and familiarity with your surroundings. You know, Samantha can speak to this, having been on the field, just returned from the field. Michael and Amy could even give testimony to this, with that volume kind of turned up, and that God is obviously is the one who has called us, going to hold us in to that place of service, Lord willing, to where he's called us to. And that calling that he has placed in our lives is hopefully going to be so resolute within us, that internal call, that call is going to transcend that need when we want to quit. And that's going to hold us in there. That some days, even as I've had missions professors talk about, that sometimes all you have left is the call. That everything else is just kind of swirling and spinning, and you're like, what am I doing? And yet you know that you have to stay resolute because God has called you to this. Other times, you recognize needs around you as you flesh out that call. It may be that you don't know all the specifics of how or where or when or who, but those needs are going to become apparent as you continue to take steps forward in that calling. So that's kind of just a basic understanding of internal call. Any questions that I can answer for us or bring further clarification to on that point? Then moving to that external call. So we have internal call, and then we also have external call. There has to be an external call as well. You know, if you think about the internal call kind of being that idea of zeal, the external call really kind of brings that zeal then coupled with knowledge together. And that knowledge is obviously going to come from those who have spiritual authority over you. So for us here at UBC, that would obviously be the elders of UBC. So for example, we see an example of that in Acts 13, verses 2 to 3, where we read that, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Timothy also seems to receive an external call, as evidenced by the elders that laid hands on him in 1 Timothy 4, and then again noted in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we also note from 1 Timothy 5:22 that Paul assumes that others will be set aside for ministry as well. Let me read that for us. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. "Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." So again, we don't want to be hastily and laying hands on somebody, but to observe the fruit in their lives and see that they are tested and proved before we would then send them out. So moving kind of further into that idea of external call, as you'll note there on your handout in the inside page there, what does this require on our part? Well, I think first it requires taking the initiative. Let folks in leadership know what you're thinking about, that you're sensing this desire to move your life to another culture for the sake of the gospel. But then also, I think, again, that's that zeal, to have that knowledge then, showing humility by accepting wisdom from others around you. Part of that humility is one, just taking that first step to put yourself under the authority of the elders and say, you know, observe my life and see if you see fruit in it, and just even natural ability in the way that God has wired me, and even just a zeal and a desire to share the gospel and to make disciples among all nations. You know, I think it's a matter of accepting wisdom, coming under that authority, even if it may conflict with our own desires. So it could very well be that after a period of assessing and kind of giving you opportunities to serve, that the elders may come back and say, give you kind of a yellow light, if you will, to say, no, not yet. You know, we feel like you need to have a little bit more time in this particular area or work on a particular issue that you may be struggling with in life. Or it may be to say, no, we feel like as we see where you may be best used and best served, it may not be over there, but it may be here. So I think just showing humility in that and being willing to receive that feedback. Addressing a sense of call, so practically speaking, then how do we flesh that out? As we sense that internal call, even as we've approached then leadership, how do we address that sense of call? Let's begin with a basic point, but important point. As we noted even just a little bit here this morning, but hopefully you've heard kind of as a common thread throughout the class, that the importance of the local church, that the local church does the sending. Again, let me refer you back to Acts 13. Even Romans 10 as markers of the local church doing that work. Individual missionaries do not send themselves. So that's what we want to guard against, is that zeal needs to be there, yes, but you don't need to just go off and do that which you please, but rather to work with the elders in concert with the direction that the church is going in terms of mission activity. The local church often sends missionaries through mission organizations, even as we've sent Samantha out. Samantha Burgess sitting there on the back row, just returned from Prague. But she's sent out through UBC, but alongside or as a part of the International Mission Board. Again, as we've noted, those mission boards, those parachurch organizations help resource and further equip missionaries to do that work cross-culturally. But the local church is obviously accountable ultimately for those that we send out. So practically speaking, as we address a sense of call, first I think we have to talk to the elders, again, gaining their guidance, but not just talking to them, but talking to them early. The process for becoming a missionary can take a period of time. Sometimes, you know, a couple years even as you're working through even just the application process, the assessment process with your local church, and then with that mission sending organization, also with fundraising, if you're with a ministry or organization that doesn't pay your salary. So the sooner that you can begin exploring that desire, the better. Even if you don't have all the answers, still come and approach the elders about that. Second, I think we need to be prepared for a time of training and opportunities to encourage and to flesh out really that gifting and that calling. Things like the global missions training that we have on Monday nights and Tuesday mornings, or it may be that God may be calling some of you men to consider the pastoral internship that Brad leads each year. And part of that training and encouragement that can come, again, is through short-term missions. Number three, going on a short-term mission trip. You know, as I've encouraged a number of folks that are considering cross-cultural ministry, if you've not been on a short-term mission trip, you need to get on one. And if you're considering a particular area that UBC is partnered in, let me encourage you to go on that short-term mission trip to that particular location, obviously to get your feet wet and to get a sense of what life might be like in that context. Samantha, if I can just kind of use you as an example, I remember coming back from the Deserts of Africa trip that Samantha was on. We were having this conversation about just the need and the burden for unreached people groups, and that, you know, her eyes were open to that even more so in a frontier setting in the deserts of Africa among our B people, our unreached people group that we've adopted and are partnered with those missionaries that are serving among them. But she was obviously wrestling with that idea of, do I go here among this unreached people group in a frontier setting, or do I go back to Prague where there's a need for healthy churches to be planted and to be discipled. And so, again, going on that short-term mission trip kind of helped her get a better sense of where she felt like God had naturally wired and gifted her and where maybe some natural relationships were built and even just the ability to communicate in particular contexts and settings. So, again, that's where that short-term mission trip is valuable, even in fleshing out a long-term call. Fourth, as we assess that and address that sense of call, is pray and talk to others about your ideas regularly. Again, That's how you're going to seek answers, is, again, just fleshing that out and talking through that with others that have more wisdom, maybe more experience than you do. Any questions on just kind of some of those practical handles? All right. Well, what if you're not called to go? What if God has not necessarily placed that desire in your heart, or maybe he has and you recognize that now's just not the right time? I think it's important, again, to remember, as we talked about before, that the importance of both goers and senders. We need both. One is not more valuable to the missionary task than others, than the other, but rather we need people to send others faithfully to the field. So how can you be more obedient to that role as a sender if God is not calling you to go, or at least not right now, long term, right here in Fayetteville? One way, obviously, as we've noted the last couple of weeks, is to reach out to those around us, particularly internationals, as a way to show mercy to the commands of the gospel. We see that noted in both the Old and New Testament. Exodus 22:21 says, "Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him, for you were aliens in Egypt." So again, thinking about the number of internationals, even those that are refugees that have come into the United States, to, again, commend the gospel to them, in the way that we show hospitality to them. But obviously, too, in the New Testament, from Hebrews 13, as well as in 1 Timothy 5, we see this idea of showing hospitality to strangers, to those that would not call the United States their home. So I think, again, if you're called to take the gospel cross-culturally, I think it's a must that you get involved in international ministry at some level. Let me refer you back to the seminar and handout a couple weeks ago that we listed a number of ways to be able to do that, that'll give you some good handles. Other great things to do, obviously disciplining yourself to read about the world and to pray for the work of the gospel around the world, as we noted in our kind of World Christian seminar class back in week, I believe it was 7, using Operation World and the Joshua Project as resources to do that. Praying for supported workers in the back of the member directory. Make sure that you're regularly doing that. And then being a student of what others in UBC are doing in terms of missions, and kind of latching yourself onto them. Taking the opportunity while Samantha and other missionaries are here on stateside assignment, having them over for a meal or out for coffee, and just kind of picking their brain on those sorts of things. You'll also receive, alongside your ministry guide, some of you may have already picked it up this morning, mission opportunities card that we'll highlight more this evening in our Sunday night service, but it gives you a number of opportunities to both go here locally, but also short-term missions to further flesh out that calling. Finally, too, some different opportunities for missions work. Again, as we noted, short-term mission trips, but then also midterm missions. So the International Mission Board has a number of different opportunities that you can go kind of for a midterm stint. Some of those you need to have a college degree, others of which you don't need to have a college degree. One of those being the Journeyman Program. It's a 2 to 3 year program for singles, couples as well, under the age of 30, I think is how they've broadened that age range. I think it was 26 at one point in this year, last couple years they bumped it up to 30. Samantha, while didn't do journeyman, she did hands-on, which is a six-month stint, but similar in nature. Ellen Burns in our body has done the journeyman program, so if you might want to consider that program, she'd be a great one to talk to. But then for those that are over the age of 30, the International Service Corps program with the IMB is another one that is a possibility. So that's for anybody ages 30 and up, both single and married. That one you don't have to have a college degree, but it is another 2 to 3 year program where you can serve cross-culturally in various assignments. And then noted there on your handout is the master's program. They've actually done away with that program. I found out that this week. But there is what's called the Macedonia program or project. which is what Samantha's a part of. So that's a program to where if you're considering long-term service as a career missionary, that's a great program to be able to couple field experience and theological education simultaneous. So if you go with a mission-sending organization like the IMB, they're going to require you to have a minimum number of hours of theological education, whether you do that on the front end or whether you do that simultaneous to your field of service. The Macedonia program allows you that opportunity to take one class each semester while you're on the field for your first 4 years, and then come back and finish your degree before being sent back out in a career status. So is that roughly about the sketch of it? Good. But then also short-term, midterm, and then long-term, so career missionaries. Again, this is kind of the backbone of mission-sending organizations like the IMB and others, is that long-term career status. Some of you may be asking why we partner with the IMB. Obviously, that's not the only mission-sending organization that we have partners represented through, but we do have a number of our own folks that are connected through the IMB. One is their theological soundness. Obviously, they have a passion to reach unreached peoples and unreached places. They have an encouraging focus on church planting. Now, there's obviously the desire to continue to refine that, making sure that we're not after speed and numbers in that church planting methodology, but more so seeing that faithful churches are planted, made up of faithful disciples who, again, will raise up leaders from within those churches to then replicate that process. So theological soundness, but we also partner with them because of financial responsibilities. As I noted, the IMB is one of the only mission-sending organizations that pays for their own employees, whereas others, you have to raise your own support. And so that's a benefit of the IMB, unlike others like Frontiers, Navigators, or others that where you do have to raise support. But then also, I think we have to consider that there is the opportunity that we are continuing to work towards, and that is sending out our own, which may be separate from sending them alongside a mission-sending organization. So we're continuing to look towards opportunities and ways that we can set aside money to be able to help offset support-raised costs of sending out our own missionaries, be that individually to an existing team, or be that to send out a team collectively to go and plant churches cross-culturally. So that's our aim and our hope, long-term desire. As we conclude, we're going to take some question and answer on anything, be it on this particular topic or others. Cole and I are going to help lead that time. But in conclusion, as we think about calling, getting from here to there may be a long process. It could be a couple of years. So again, I think be patient, continue to stoke that zeal that you have, but also couple that with that knowledge and be ready to think ahead and take counsel from those around you to grow now, not only through discipling opportunities, but also through other experiences. Finally, remember that the end is not about you or what you can do or what you can't do, what doors God may be opening for you to do. Rather, ultimately, it's about God's passion to spread his glory among the nations for the joy of all peoples. And keep your mind fixed up on that end, Revelation 5, verses 9 to 14, where we see that throne room and the nations from every tribe, tongue, and nation gathered around that throne. That's what we're after. Regardless of what place and part you play in that, that is the end result. And we know that. And we can glorify God in the midst of that. Let me conclude our talk on calling with a quote by David Platt, former president of the International Mission Board. He says, "Going starts where we live, but it doesn't stop there. If there are a billion people who have never heard the gospel and billions of others who still have not received the gospel, then we have an obligation to go to them. This is not an option. This is a command, not a calling. What is the matter of calling is where we will go and how long we will stay, whether that be long-term, whether that be short-term. We will not all go to the same places, and we will not all stay the same length of time, but it is clearly the will of God for us to take the gospel to the nations." parenthetically say it, whether that's locally or globally. That's what we're after. And that's really our prayer from this class, is that God would use this class to continue to mobilize more from UBC to the nations.